Good morning. Welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio on a Tuesday. Today is the first Tuesday of August, August 7th, and the year is 2018, and the day is somewhat overcast, but the beauty of the downtown Northfield, the flowers, the hanging baskets of roses and all that, still also very much enjoyable. I have my guest in studio, and his name is Greg Klosser. I get that right?
That's right.
Okay. And sometimes I confuse, and I appreciate that I got it right the first time. And I invited you to be a guest of mine, and I got to tell people that Greg is the CEO of AllFlex, but he does more than that. And I was really surprised. The other day I was traveling around. I don't know. I was just kind of cruising around. They have that big detour for those that live on Bridgewater Hill, County Road 1 is cut down. So I went up the old gravel road, and I was actually going to go up there and see if anybody was at the strawberry patch. And I've been up there several times, and never do I ever find somebody there. And then I looked down the road, and I thought, well, that looks like a private organization, not organization, but a private farm-like thing. And I thought, well, I think I'll just go and find out. Well, it turns out that you were following me, and I ended up at a place called A Great Day Farm. I stopped in one outbuilding, and there were some people in there, and I asked where you were, and they said, well, the house is over there. And so I drove down to the house and got out of the car, and there you were. And I had never even known about A Great Day Farm, and was totally taken aback. I invited you to be a guest on my show, I think it was last Wednesday, maybe two Wednesdays ago, and unfortunately I had booked two people. And
That's never happened before.
Oh boy, I'll tell you. I'm scared about one coming up on Thursday. But anyhow, you were so kind as to say, I can always come back. Well, at that same day, that Wednesday, you were front page of the Northfield News, you and your family, about A Great Day Farm. And I thought, doggone it, I wanted to be first. And anyhow, we can go in a lot more detail. And Greg, what about that place? I mean, it's just beautiful and spacious and altruistic, I have to say. Mm-hmm. What is A Great Day Farm?
Well, Wayne, we end up getting a lot of people that are looking for berries, and they come too far to our house, and so I wasn't surprised, but I saw that DJJD license plate, and I said, I wonder who this is, and then, you know, we got talking, and so that was kind of interesting situation. But my wife and I, we have a couple of boys with Down syndrome. One of them is also autistic, and it was really Patty's idea. She used to invite the Max's special ed classes out for picnics in the spring and the summer.
Who's Max's?
Max is our youngest son with Down syndrome. Okay. He's also autistic, nonverbal. So, you know, he has a little bit tougher time than our other son, Sam. And the kids that have come out to our place, you know, interacting with the animals and having a picnic and being out in the country, you know, riding bikes, they just had such a great time that Patty said, you know, we really need to share this with more people. So we, you know, basically set up this foundation and funded it with some of my ownership at AllFlex, and we're slowly building it up. So it's kind of my retirement plan.
Well, that's awfully kind and considerate. Now, how old is Matt?
Max is 20 years old.
Okay.
And he was adopted just at a couple months old. He came with a twin brother, Tom. And Tom's starting his third year at St. Olaf.
Oh, wow.
So fraternal twins. And then Sam, he was our second born, and he'll be 38 this month.
38?
Yeah.
Okay, and he also is afflicted with...
He's well, inflicted. That kind of has a negative connotation,
I thought it said afflict. What do you say? Teach me the proper weight terms.
Well, he has Down syndrome. He's pretty proud of it, you know. He talks about him and his Downy brother, Max, and... You know, Sam was always a fun kid and very social, but Max was a little bit tougher and nonverbal, and it's really kids like Sam, I call them kids, they're adults, they really don't have a lot of options. You know, the people, the social services, the state, they all like to see kids with developmental disabilities get out and be integrated into the community. But some of them are, you know, that's not really likely to happen. They're not appropriate. They're very disruptive, or things, you know, sensory overload can set them off. So we created this place where they can come, they can relax, they can be themselves, have a lot of activities and kind of sensory things to interest them, and it's all a no-fee kind of environment because they really don't have a lot of resources.
Do you have overnight facilities?
No, we just have like from an 8 to 8 kind of open hours, and we don't do any care. We just create the venue, so people, clients come with their personal care attendants or family members, and use the facility.
So the one young lady I met in one of your outbuildings that was looks like it was a big. Kitchen. Well, there was a kitchen there and a lot of tables,
yep.
And then there were basketball hoops, I believe, and it looked like a nice big half size of a football field or maybe less than that. And then they bring their own private person, and then that person is in the building and they keep their eye on the individuals.
Right.
Okay. A place to go.
Right, and so we built that building specially for that purpose. It's about 3,500 square feet. A couple of bathrooms and a kitchenette, and cement floors, padded walls, high side walls, so they can kick a ball. We've got a lot of we have three different swings in there that are hanging, you know, about 15 feet up in the air. So
ooh.
They really like the swings.
Wow, that's amazing. Another thing that I'd like to know, and of course I don't want to get too personable, but you. Adopted Max?
Yep.
And now you had Sam, a natural biological child.
Great.
Who was not autistic, but
nope.
Down syndrome.
Right.
And then you, 18 years later, say, you know what, let's help another child.
Everybody has a better half, and my better half is Patty, and that was her idea. We had five children. And when we moved out to this 11-acre spot in the country, close to town, and that's when she got the idea we should this is a nice place for kids, we should adopt a special needs baby. And it took about a year and a half, 2 years, but we got Max, and he came with a twin brother. So seven kids, that's a bunch.
Well, who are the other children? That you and Patsy have.
Zach is the oldest. He lives in Charleston, South Carolina.
How old is he?
He is, now you're going to make me do the math.
All right.
He is 39.
39, okay. And then came Sam after that.
Yep, and then Sarah, and she is 35.
Sarah is 35, okay.
And then Ben,
okay,
who is 33.
Wow, okay.
And then Emma, who is 31, I think. She might get after me for that one.
All right.
And then the twin boys, Tom and Max, are both 20.
And Max, okay. And of those natural-born children, You only had the one, only had, but you had the one.
Yep.
Okay. And it must have been very helpful to have the brothers and sisters there to help.
Yeah, we've always kind of had a lot of family chaos at the house, you know, lots of stuff going on. And Zach was already away at school, and he wanted to, he was the one that wanted to get out of the nest, you know, yeah, relatively quickly. And
I guess you're
so right. he wasn't around as much. He was already doing his own thing. But
well, you're kind of lucky in that way, because a lot of them want to live in the basement. They don't want to leave home. And yeah, food, laundry, you know, the whole
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it had to be did you? How long have you owned the 11 acres or 10 acres?
We moved out there, I think, in 1993.
2013.
So about 25 years or so.
And how long have you been with Allflex?
I started there in 2005. I'd spent a lifetime at Sheldahl back in the day, and then started at Allflex in 2005. And Ann Lundstrom, who founded it, sold the company in 2007, and the new owners made me president and gave me a chance to buy in a little bit.
Well, so that's nice.
It was very good.
What are Ed and Ann doing now? I haven't seen them for a while.
They're up in Floodwood. That's where they call home, and they have a really nice property up there, and they've integrated really well into the community. I know that Ed has coached baseball and football, and they've created a scholarship fund for Floodwood High School students to go to college. And, you know, Ann tells me that all of the old-timers and locals kind of look at it as, you know, Eddie did good, you know. So, local boy.
I was just thinking, what hasn't Ed tried?
And that's right.
I wonder if I should tell this story. We had an investment club.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Seven guys. And we would buy stock and see how it goes. And we tried to keep it local, you know, like Polaris or 3M, things like that. And one night we were having a party and doing our buying, and we closed our books. We had our specialist there with us from Edward Jones. And he would, you know, give his opinion and tell us where we're at. And I said, you know, I'm going to call Ed and tell him that we took $1,000 and put that into Sheldahl stock. So I called him up and I said, hey, Ed, how you doing? Fine. I said, hey, guess what? We're all together here having a little party now, but we just got done buying stock, and we bought $1,000 worth of Sheldahl stock. And he said, oh, well, that's nice, Wayne. Thank you. I said, okay, I know you can't talk about it. I know that. I just want you to know we support you. two weeks later, boom, right down the tube.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, well, it's a life lesson learned. What, were you at Sheldahl when they ended up being?
You know, yeah, they I was, I tell everybody, I was vice president of the circuit business. And they'd kind of lost control of the company. The board no longer had a majority share, and so they got a private equity company came in there and was kind of calling the shots. And they brought in a new president that came from the circuit world, and so one of us was redundant, and he got to pick who. And so I got let go. And I had this golden parachute of 2 years severance, and 6 weeks later they filed bankruptcy. So my severance is gone.
Oh, geez.
I got a mortgage. I got seven kids and no income. It was a tough time.
Scary.
So I bought a backhoe and a dump truck and a skid loader and went into the excavating business.
How long did that last?
It lasted about 2.5 years, and I stopped at Allflex to get a barrel from Ann so that I could do soak tests on septic systems for sizing them correctly, and I got a barrel and a job.
Wow.
That's how that turned out.
Pretty good. And then, of course, they moved on, and then you became the CEO.
Yeah.
And part owner or all owner?
Yeah. No, part owner.
Okay.
I got a chance to buy in, and
boy, that's a great story.
It was pretty fortunate. I figure God was looking out for us.
Now, did you ever go over to the restaurant that Ed had in Dundas?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was, and I've been to his house many times where he has done the cooking, of course, and he's quite the chef. He really enjoys it.
Now, do you ride a motorcycle?
I used to when I was a kid, and then I drove one off a cliff one time.
Ouch.
And I decided that's probably not for me.
All right. The reason I ask that, folks, is that Ed and Ann both rode Harleys. And they joined us on our, what we call the Outlaw Run.
Oh, yeah.
And go out and raise money for the Northfield Historical Society. 18 minutes after 9 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, a friend you can count on. My guest this morning is Greg Klosser, and I'm going to talk about the QB, if I may. I don't know, do you go to the quarterback club in Northfield?
All the times.
Good.
Super Burger Special.
Okay. Yeah, I never can make up my mind which one I want, and they all cost the same.
Yeah.
But some seem to have more than the other, and I tried the...
You know, once you find something that works, you know, why change it?
You know, I think I didn't. I think it's the Mushroom Burger. Mm. Yeah, it's really good. And, of course, they're very well known for their breakfast. They're serving breakfast from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Saturday. So you still have time to get in there. And, by the way, if you're ever in a hurry, don't worry about it, because you place that order, and before you get comfortable seated, it seems they can bring it out. I'm talking about a full breakfast. Quarterback Club is locally owned, and it is locally managed right here by the Fingers on KYMN. We are talking to Greg Klosser, and we will be back in just 30 seconds.
Sarah Hoffman at the Syngenta Research Station in Stanton. Syngenta Seeds in Stanton would like to invite you to the Dakota County Fair and take in all the 4-H and FFA exhibits and shows throughout the week. Syngenta Seeds in Stanton is busy working in the fields, labs, and giving tours. Contact your Syngenta Seeds sales rep for a demo plot tour and come see their products in action. Syngenta Seeds is a proud supporter of 4-H and FFA and hopes you can take in the Dakota County Fair this week.
Hey there, it's me, your star.
This was the number 10 song in 1970.
Let It Be.
Do you know who sang it?
So it's the Beatles?
Yeah. You're batting 100% there, Greg. All right, good for you. 920 on 1080 Radio. Good morning. Greg Klosser is my guest this morning. He and his wife, Patty, have a wonderful thing going called A Great Day Farm. And and I discovered it accidentally going to Silky's. Isn't it the name?
Silky's Berry Farm.
Yeah. I heard that the matriarch of Silky's is still living.
Oh, yeah. Grace.
And I heard that she is very conversive.
She's an amazing woman. She stays very active, and she's very pleasant.
I want to have her on my show.
You should.
Yeah, because Silky is a name that goes back.
Oh yeah,
and in the Bridgewater Township area.
So our property was originally part of the Silky Farm. It was spun off back in 81 or 82. So,
I just happened to think the other day, if you were to have a crow on your wrist and you said go to Wayne's house, I don't think it'd be more than a mile or less.
Oh, I don't know where you live. Oh, you're in Upper Oaks, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's less than a mile.
Yeah, so here, all this wonderful place has been there for these many years, and I never knew about it. Mm. And obviously, the Northfield News did a nice job with an interview with you.
I was very pleased. You know, if you've ever been the subject of an interview or a story, and you always wonder, okay, what are they going to get wrong? but this one was, there was nothing wrong about it. It was all very accurate, and it was you know, very nice, because they lauded us well.
And nice pictures.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, if you just tuned in, Greg Klosser is my guest this morning. He and his wife, Patty, have children. They have Max and Sam and Zach and Sarah and Ben and Emma and Tom and Max. And,
you know, I had a neighbor, Wayne, that listened to all of the kids' name. He said, geez, you know, it sounds like an episode out of Gunsmoke.
Yeah, you know, I was really thinking, there's one there that... when you say Sam, I think of Richardson here in town. When you say Zach, I think of the first horse I ever bought to ride in the raid reenactment. And when you say Sarah, I think of a young lady that parents own the Hideaway, and she was an ambassador. And when I think of Ben, I think of an NFL football player. When I think of Emma, I think of a knock-knock joke. And Tom and Mark Max, Tom, I think of Tom Mix, who's, you've probably never heard of Tom Mix.
He's a cowboy.
Yeah, good for you. Cowboy back in the 30s, I think, and when I used to play cowboy.
And Red Rider.
BB gun, did you ever have one?
I was a Daisy kid.
Okay. I think mine was a Red Rider that I couldn't use. Here's your gift. Oh, wow, thanks, but you can't use it unless I'm here.
Oh.
Okay. So we do a story about your life and how you ended up in Northfield, Minnesota, and I'm just, like I say, very impressed. And you don't mind the publicity that has been generated in the last week or so?
No, it's, you know, we don't really do any direct marketing. We give out flyers to the different group homes and day programs and Laura Baker and Epic and places like that so that they know that it's there. And we really want people to know about it because it's all about the clients and the PCAs and the
PCAs.
You know, personal care attendants, okay. And the group homes. You know, if they don't know about it, they can't take advantage of it. And we really want the people that need a place like that to be aware of it and use it. So we're really getting people coming out every day. We've got a website that has a calendar on it, so when we schedule group events, people know. And we've had about three or four dances. Bill Reinhardt has been good enough to DJ for us, and kids love it.
He used to work for KYMN.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he had a show, and it was called he was a salesman, and back in the old days, KYMN had a sign off at sunset. And so in this time of the year, you'd go till 9 o'clock. Uh-huh. In the winter, you'd go till 4:30. But anyhow, Bill Reinhardt was a salesman for Kim Radio, and then he did a show from 6 to 9 when we had the summer months, and he was Zeke Who? That was his name.
Oh.
I'm Zeke Who? And he had a great sense of humor. So good for you.
Yeah, so he had a son, BJ, and he was a good friend of Sam. He's since passed, but... you know, he enjoys doing it just because it kind of gets him back into that world, and he sees all these people that he remembers, and they love it.
Life threw him a whole bunch of curveballs.
Yes.
So hats off to Bill. Now, were you on the LBSA board?
I still am.
And still are. And of course, I know you from there. I served on there for 15 years, I think.
Yeah.
And how are things going? I haven't been to a board meeting for a couple of years.
Yeah. Well, we got one this Thursday. So, okay. Things are going, I think, pretty well. There's all kinds of issues. I think that the biggest thing that people in this space, you know, serving people with developmental disabilities, thing we struggle with is funding. You know, the funding is poor. It's when you think of the kind of people you want caring for people that are, most in need or have potential issues, they don't get paid a living wage.
Yeah.
So you get so much turnover and... So it's tough.
Well, the thing that I learned when I first joined the board, and you know, it takes up time if you're doing your job as a board member, and I worked hard on fundraisers and things like that. And I always said to myself, you know, I'm glad that I can do this because I could not be an employee.
Right.
I couldn't do that. And they have so much patience. Some are not fit for it, but the ones that are, I just so much admire them for what they do and the patience and the tolerance and the teaching and the love that they give. So I always said, hats off to the people that work at LBSA.
Yeah, I've told people that people that are good at that job are just good.
Yeah.
You have to be.
And you wish you could compensate them more.
Yeah.
What about Eric Pritchard? Do you ever...
Sam and Eric are good buddies. You know, they were their elementary school teacher used to say that, oh, man, they're just one's a clone of the other. And we see Eric pretty regularly, and he and Sam do things. They were out for a movie and a birthday party just this past week.
You know, Eric Pritchard has been around a long time. I don't know. You maybe have statistics. What is the average age of a person with Down syndrome?
I think I don't really have good statistics. Okay. I remember there was a man in Waseca who was about 70 years old, I think, and was considered to be quite old for Down syndrome.
Yeah.
But one of the things that skews the numbers or confounds the statistics is that back 50 years ago, they were all institutionalized, or so many of them. And that can diminish a lifespan, just that environment.
Well, I, as a high school student for a social study class, we took a bus to Cambridge, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And Cambridge had an asylum, or whatever they called it, back in 1958.
Regional center, yep.
And we walked in there, and it was horrible. I mean, it was just terrible. I mean, big people in cribs and diapers and stacked. I mean, they were all over the place. And I had never been exposed to that, and most of my classmates.
Mm-hmm.
And you just say, oh, we didn't know there were people like that, you know. And so you didn't know whether to feel sorry, or you didn't know whether to get repugnant.
Mm-hmm.
And from that time on, I was happy to learn more about people. Like, I was in the area of, like, polio.
Yep.
Those people would be out in public and in school. One guy, I remember, you carried him around on your shoulders, and he was mentally alert.
Yep.
And everything was cool, just said he had to drag his legs. So, to do what you do for these people is at no charge is pretty doggone nice. I mean, it's got to cost you, obviously. But when you say that they get together, are they coming from places like LBSA as a group?
A lot of group homes and a lot of day programs, and just a lot of individuals. We get a regular group comes in from Owatonna. It's interesting that we got about four calls after that article in the paper came out, because people didn't know about it, and so they're calling to find out about it. How do we get there, and can we just come? So we're really happy to get that word out.
Do you have weekends? Do you do weekends?
Yeah, we're open 7 days a week.
Oh, okay.
On Sundays, we have a delayed start. We don't open up until noon.
Okay. Now, does every client or individual that can use your facility have to have somebody with them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And can it be more than one client, let's say, for one person could bring four or five people?
A lot of the group homes, they'll have maybe a couple of staff and five or six clients.
So your responsibility is that you make sure that they don't drop somebody off and take off.
Right.
Because I was thinking, wouldn't it be nice for our parents to get that one day of relief to go shopping, go to a movie and not worry and be concerned about it, but they'd also would have to have somebody with the child. Or
yeah, that's our issue. I'm at Allflex, they're looking for my replacement so I can retire. Not really retire, I'm just changing jobs here. But my wife, Patty, she doesn't really get to retire because she's has to be there for Max and Sam. And so we'd like to be able to drop them off somewhere, too, but we don't get to do that.
I remember Laura Baker was working on being able to have people do that by having an overnight.
Yeah.
And, boy, is that a great relief for the parents. I mean, yeah. It's not abandonment. It's an opportunity to refresh.
Yeah, it's a recharge for sure.
9:33 on the Wayne Eddy Affair, KYMN out of Northfield, Minnesota. My guest this morning is Greg Klosser, and he is the CEO of Allflex, but more importantly, he wants to retire so he can continue his fine work with A Great Day Farm. We'll be right back.
Hey there, it's me, your stomach, down here, you know, the one who can talk. Anyway, I was just at a yoga sesh with a few of the other stomachs, and mid-tree pose, everyone started talking about Subway's new savory rotisserie-style chicken Caesar signature wrap. It's a mouthful to say, I know, but with creamy Caesar dressing and double the rotisserie-style chicken, it's not the only thing that's full, if you know what I mean. It's me, I'm the one that's full, because I'm a stomach. That's kind of what I do. Subway, make it what you want. Double meat based on average 6-inch sub.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
Number 9, 1970.
It's the title is War, and I'm not sure who the heck sang it.
Well, you would be a star if you could remember. That's a hint.
I'm not very good at that.
All right. Edwin Starr, probably okay. A one-hit wonder. You got the title right. I noticed you perusing Jesse James here. They're kind of fascinating.
Yeah, nice wood carving of a cowboy holding a rifle with a six-gun in his pocket and a duster.
Made out of one log.
Who did a local guy do that? Or
no, a guy from up north did it for the Northfield Historical Society. And during the defeat of Jesse James days, he worked on carving it out.
Yeah.
Then he took it home and did the paint. And then he brought it back, and they had an auction on that. And I thought, that is so cool. It's about 7 feet tall, and it weighs a lot. And I thought, you know, maybe I'll bid on that. And the opening bid, $100.
Yeah.
Somebody bid $150. I bid $175, then $2, then $250, then this. And I wonder who the heck, you know, nodding their head so they wouldn't know. I turned around, it was Jeff Johnson bidding for it. And I thought, well, you know, he can use that in the studio, and, you know, what would I do with it?
You'd have put it in the studio, too, so.
Yeah. So, anyhow, Jeff got it and took two guys to get it over here, but it is quite a deal. And, of course, the Northfield Historical Society made a few bucks to compliment the other individuals that do contribute. 24 minutes before 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio, we're talking to Greg Klosser, and he has A Great Day Farm along with his wife, Patty. He has 7 children, and he is the CEO at Allflex, and waiting to be... is that kind of a compliment that it takes so long for them to replace you?
I don't know.
Okay. So are you... A leader in as a CEO, or do you actually know how to make flexible circuits?
Oh, I've been in this industry since 1978, so an advantage I have is that I know the product. I know how it's built. I know how to design it. I know what it costs, and so that detailed, you know, kind of technical industry knowledge is very helpful when you're working on programs. And well, it also gives, you know, it when I'm talking to customers, it increases our credibility because they can see that I'm not just a pretty face.
Oh, well, okay. 1952, is that the year you were born?
That's right.
Okay. 1952, the Korean War was going on, and Eisenhower was the president of the United States of America. And where were you born?
In Minneapolis.
Oh, okay. So you're kind of a local.
I am, but all the closer. Both my parents came from Detroit area, and so they had just relocated to Minnesota. My oldest brother was born in Michigan, and then I was third along.
Okay, now, who was the oldest boy?
Alan.
And how much older was he than you?
3 years.
Okay, and then after Alan?
Rita Ann.
Okay.
I call her Annie. Her friends call her Rita.
Okay. I'll be a Rita. How much friend?
She's a year and a half.
Okay.
Catholic family, just kind of go down 18 months at a time. And
yeah, and then you.
Me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's it?
No, and then there were four more.
Wow.
Seven kids.
Who was after you?
Brother Mike.
How much younger is he than you?
Just a little over a year.
And after Mike?
Brother Bob.
And Brother Bob, and how much?
I don't know. He's probably 3 years younger than me.
And then after Bob?
Mary.
And how much younger is she?
She's got six kids, too.
Yeah.
Mary is about 6 years younger than me.
Okay, a little sister.
Mary and Patty went to Winona, and Mary had Patty lined up for my younger brother Mike, and then she got to our house, and I kind of intervened. So that's how.
So
Mary introduced us.
So big brother kind of just took over.
That's right.
So what did your folks do in Detroit or in Michigan?
I come from a long line of contractors. My great-grandfather owned the first steam shovel in Detroit. And he dug the basements and footings for something like the Kresge Building, or I don't even know the names of them. But
that's your great-grandfather?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's kind of a cool family.
So the
building
house or
factories.
Roads with horses. And then my grandfather did that. My father sold bulldozers, scrapers, and heavy equipment for that industry. And as I said, in between Sheldahl and Allflex, I had a small excavating business. And so
you had some experience and you kind of knew it. Now, when your dad was a salesman, was he representing like a John Deere or a Case or a Caterpillar? Or
he was. He worked for a dealership up in St. Paul, and they carried Terex brand, which was a General Motors brand, also Al's Chalmers, and you know different lines had different. But they competed against Caterpillar, and that was they always have been the market leader.
Where was their sales floor? Was it out on University Avenue?
It was for a while.
Yeah. Okay.
Orchard Ingersoll. Yeah.
Yeah.
No longer around, but
When I think of things, sometimes I think about sales, and when you can sell a Caterpillar or whatever, and you think back in those days it's probably like $30,000.
Well, back in those days, even then it could be $500,000.
Oh my goodness.
And so and dad, his whole life he worked straight commission.
Okay, that's what I was getting to.
So he had a hard time sleeping, and seven kids didn't help, and I remember he'd get an hour and a half sleep a day. He was It was tough on him.
Yeah, but commissions on $500,000, yeah, I'm sure he got 10%.
I don't know. I don't know what he got. But he was a good salesman, and I used to travel with him sometimes, and he was, you know, talking deals to so many people. I always asked him, how do you keep everything straight, what you've told everybody? He says, I always tell the truth, because that's the only thing you know you can remember.
Yeah, good. Sounds like Judge Judy. It's 18 minutes before 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio. Greg Klosser is my guest. And by the way, you want to straighten something out. Sometimes people see a name, and if it has a C and an L and a couple of S's in there, they think it might be somebody else. And there was a company or a business place called Swag. I think they're going out of business. Sale is going on now. And a very unique store.
Mary Clausen.
Clausen.
Yep. And I know Mary pretty well, and she always teases me because she always, she says, well, are you married to Greg Klosser? And I was, and she said, no, he's a little too short for me.
Yeah. You ever read her Facebook or whatever it is?
She's a good writer.
Oh, man. She talks about customers and how she's glad that she's not in retail anymore.
She's fun.
There's big signs saying no bathroom, and people.
She's
come in
also
and say,
been. She's also been a good advocate for Laura Baker over the years. Has always helped with the gala and done what she can. She's a good asset to the community.
Yes, Greg.
Like you.
Thank you. Like you, Greg Klosser, my guest. And I know Greg through working with the LBSA as a member of the board of directors, but I discovered a great thing the other day, a Great Day Farm, and I was following the detour that they have because of County Road 1, and you have to take that, what is that road called?
115th Street.
Okay.
And Radar Road.
Yeah. Now, see, when I first came to town, that's what it was called, Radar Road. And I remember watching the 4th of July fireworks when I first got here up on Raider Road. And you could do pretty much what you wanted to do up there and watch the fireworks. So anyhow, I was going up there to look at Silky's place to get some strawberries, and I just kept going in, and I found a Great Day Farm. I was flabbergasted that was there. And I want to talk about that more towards the end of the show, but I want to get to know more about you. And you were born in 1952, then that would have been in Minneapolis.
Yep.
Okay. So where did your family live?
Lived in Osseo at that time.
Osseo.
Yep. Then when I was 4 years old, Dad moved the family. He wanted a more quiet kind of place to raise kids. You know,
quieter than Osseo?
Yeah, I'm not even sure. I never really asked him about it. It might have been just because it was a little bit more convenient to his business territory. But he moved the family down to La Center.
Wow. That's a cool, interesting move.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he didn't, he worked out of the home? He didn't need an office or a showroom?
Oh, he was on the road all the time. But he was home most nights. But it was all car travel.
Yeah. Did he have, Wisconsin, Minnesota, North, South Dakota, Iowa?
I think that, kind of that five-state region, but southern Minnesota and a little bit into Iowa, a little bit into Wisconsin and South Dakota.
But he had a good living. He made a good living.
He worked hard, and he did well.
Okay. So did you go to Le Sueur schools?
Le Center School, the Wildcats, yeah.
Okay, so you said Le Center.
Le Center, yeah.
Not Le Sueur, okay. What is Le Center known for? I just was
it's
there.
The county seat for Le Sueur County.
Okay.
And
is Henderson right around the corner?
Well, about a 14-mile radius would get you to Le Sueur, Henderson, St. Peter, Cleveland, Kilkenny, Waterville. you know.
Did you shop in Mankato or the Twin Cities on big days?
No, it was. We went to Mankato. It was only about 25 miles.
Okay. And did you live on a farm or in town?
Lived in town.
On a block of homes, new homes, old homes?
Yeah, just a little bit down from the water tower, and a big old box that was built in about 1914 or so, a three-story house, and I lived in the attic.
All right. Well, it was seven kids. I imagine they just kept building out. Now, what type of heat did you have in your home back there in the late 50s?
It was radiators and a boiler.
Yep. Okay. And what about, you had all the amenities, telephone lines, gas lines.
We had telephone.
Electricity and all that.
And I remember our first television.
I was just going to ask you that because they were just starting to come out.
Yeah. So that was probably 58, 59 before we had a television.
Wow. Okay. And everybody else in the neighborhood had televisions, right?
We had, I remember, I was probably about 13 before I ever heard of anybody having a color television.
Okay. And that was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
What about, and I always ask this question, is what about your first bicycle since you were the second oldest boy? How'd that work? Hand-me-downs?
Oh, yeah, yeah. $15, I remember my dad paid for it to get me a first bike. And, you know, probably the for mobility, though, my older brother, when he was 16, he bought a Honda 50.
Okay.
And when he wasn't around, I'd have, you know, he'd always, of course, take the key, but we'd know how to jump start it and disconnect the speedometer so he didn't, because he always recorded the mileage, too. And so me and a, you know, underage, having a small motorcycle to go wherever you needed to do was quite the deal.
Did you call it a Sport 50?
It was, I just called it a Honda 50.
Okay, that was my first motorcycle, was a Sport 50, and I kind of chuckle now. But I had to learn, so I ended up, you know, going to a large size. Did you ever pursue motorcycles like Ed?
No, I had a 250 Yamaha Enduro when I was out of high school. And, you know, it's cheap transportation driving around town, but I always had to, I'd get going about 30 miles an hour, and I'd shut it off, put it in neutral at about the water tower, and then I could coast into the driveway and sneak upstairs without waking anybody up. I don't know that I ever fooled anybody, but, you know, it's 2, 3 in the morning, and you're trying to sneak home. That was how I did it.
So in Le Center, did you as a kid, or did your brother Alan or sister Rita have jobs, go out and earn your own money for whatever it would be?
You know, my folks, they believed in education, so they didn't want a job to get in the way of school. So we worked hard, you know, in summers and things like that. Green Giant was probably the big employer back then in Montgomery. But when we were in school, high school, and college, they really didn't want us to have a second job, to want us to focus on schoolwork.
What was your parochial school education? Did you go 1 through 8?
One through eight at St. Mary's.
And tell me about that experience. Did you actually have nuns still?
We out of 8 years, there were just 2 years that we had lay teachers. The rest were nuns, six nuns.
Okay, now anybody, and I'm going to take a brief break so you can think about it, anybody that went to a Catholic grade school has a story about a nun. I've got mine, and we're going to hear yours in just a moment.
Lace up your sneakers and join KYMN on Sunday, September 9th for the Defeat of Jesse James Day's Run Walk. Choose from a 15K run or a 5K run walk. All proceeds benefit Northfield Shares, our community foundation, in its mission to advance philanthropy, inspire volunteerism, and promote collaborative leadership. Register at djjdrun.org. Thank you to presenting sponsors, Community Resource Bank and Aldi, and gold sponsors, Alina Health, Armory Square, Cannon Valley Veterinary Clinic, Carleton College, Neuger Communications Group, Northfield News, and Sage Glass. Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. Make an appointment today with Drs. David Brust, David Buck, Bo Stanley, or Michael Thompson. New patients and emergencies welcome 5 days a week at Heritage Dental Care.
Number 6, 1970.
Right, oh, this is dream. What? Is this Partridge Family or something?
Yeah.
I never listened to this.
I think I love you.
That's it.
My pillow to my head and spring up in my bed, screaming out the words I dread. I think I love you.
All right, number 6 song, he got that. You're doing real well with this musical quiz from 1970. All right, did you come up with that one story every kid that ever went to a parochial school can remember, particularly from a nun?
Well, I got a couple. Of course, you know, all the stories you remember is when you're in trouble.
Yes, that's true.
And so the nuns at our St. Mary's, they were really good on English. I mean, we could have diagrammed the Gettysburg Address when we, you know, got out of there. And then the next year we're in high school and, you know, we're starting back with what is a noun, you know. But on math, it was just the opposite. And so we were in eighth grade and they knew we were going to, we were behind what the expectation was going to be in high school. So they were trying to fill in some blanks on the math. And I remember they were trying to talk about sets. And I was a bright student. And so the nun, she was saying how, well, Greg, you know, if I had this many apples and I did this and da-da-da-da. And she's trying to get me to say, well, you know, it'd be a set and subsets. And I told her the oldest Bazooka Joe comic in the world was G-Sister says, I can't do oranges, I learned with apples. And she went nuts. She got about 3 inches from my face and was screaming at me and the spit was hitting me, and I ended up with 2 weeks detention for that
wow.
that bad joke.
Yeah, because she knew you were being the smart aleck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She was a little stressed.
Joe Palooka. And that came with bubblegum, didn't it?
Bazooka Joe, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right. And is that the one that wore the turtleneck sweater above his nose?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Boy, you're bringing back memories for me. And speaking about memories, oh, you can see something at the Dakota County Fair this week that will keep in your memory for quite a while.
Great family fun is waiting for you at the Dakota County Fair. 3 nights of demolition derbies, bull riding, barrel racing, lawnmower races, and more. Free concerts include Johnny Holm, Girls Night Out, Foreplay, and Them Pesky Kids. There's 4-H displays, our gigantic midway, and the 7 Keys, 7 Days grand prize giveaway with your chance to win valuable prizes. All at the Dakota County Fair in Farmington, August 6th through the 12th.
Another big hit from 1970, ladies and gentlemen. This was number 5.
This is George Harrison, the Bangladesh concert, what was it, My Sweet Lord or something.
You got it. Good. So when you were in grade school, did they have programs for athletics at St. Mary's?
Yeah, they did. They had basically just a basketball team that played other parochial schools locally.
Okay.
I was not much of a basketball player.
Did you play any sports at all in your high school years?
I was I did a little bit of track, but I was mostly a wrestler. I was a good wrestler.
Okay, do you remember any particular match that?
I remember. I'm trying to think of the town, Arlington, in a dual meet. I broke a guy's leg.
Oh my gosh!
he broke it himself. I had his ankle, and he tried to do a power switch, and he put all his weight on his own leg, and I didn't let go, and it broke his leg.
Did he cry out in pain?
Yeah, and there's probably about 30 seconds left in the match, I told, it says, ref, he's hurt, because I heard it, just like taking a half-inch stick and busting it in two, I says, ref, he's hurt. He says, keep wrestling. And so I just kind of knelt by him and just kept my hands on his back, and he was just kind of laying there, and they ended up carrying him off, my good buddy afterwards told me, he said, you know, it's if you just flipped him over and pinned him, we'd have got two more team points.
Oh, jeez.
did you win the matches then?
Oh, yeah. But I didn't... I was thinking, you know, I says, God, that seems like a cruel thing to do, but why didn't I think of it?
So what weight did you wrestle at?
I wrestled... when I was a senior, I wrestled 112.
Wow, you're a little guy. Wow, 112 is a senior.
I grew a few inches after high school.
Did you get involved in
both
any
directions?
Did you get into any other activities like theater or music or art or
partying? Yeah.
So you were a good student. And your folks didn't want you to work during school, but you could during the summer. And you were a hellraiser, but you were a little guy. Did you have a group of guys that you hung around with?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And were they, like, big?
You know, it was a mixed bag, just like anything. Other wrestlers, mostly. Actually, one of them you probably know is... Chris Smith, his dad was the sheriff of the county, Pat Smith.
Yes, I knew Pat Smith.
Yeah, personally, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, that goes to my high school years, so that was back in the 50s, late 50s. You were just a kid, maybe 5 years old. But it's a memory that I have that's kind of fun to tell some people.
It's kind of, I was never in the service, but I've always been told that... you know, you wouldn't trade that experience for anything, but you would never do it again. So there's a lot of things in life where they're part of who you are, and it's just wonderful that you survived to think back on them.
Well, we're going to think about taking a break for the news, and then we're going to come back and pick up from high school, college, and how you ended up in Northfield, Minnesota at Sheldahl Corporation. This is the one, 95.1 FM and 1080 AM from Northfield, Minnesota, KYMN. Greg Klausner is my guest this morning. He's CEO of AllFlex, and he also and his wife, Patty, run a place called A Great Day Farm, which is quite a big deal. I was so impressed when I discovered it a couple of weeks ago.
U.S. imposed sanctions, history made in California. I'm John Trout. President Trump announces new embargoes directed toward Iran. Michael Toscano has the latest on tough talk for Tehran.
John Trump says anyone doing business with Iran will not be doing business with the United States. He adds, I am asking for world peace, nothing less. The move comes after Trump declared the landmark 2015 nuclear agreement horrible. The sanctions reinstated against Tehran target financial transactions that involve U.S. dollars and the purchase of commercial planes, among other items.
Northern California grappling with what has now been determined to be the largest wildfire in state history. Dan Simon surveys efforts to fight the Mendocino Complex fire.
It is actually two fires. It is the River Fire and the Ranch Fire, but firefighters are treating them basically as just one large fire. At this point, it's just about 30% contained.
Also from the Golden State, 15 employees at a Southern California aerospace facility have been hospitalized after they were exposed to an unknown chemical. Easterline TA Aerospace in Santa Clarita, north of Los Angeles, makes materials for the aerospace industry. Troy Balderson is a two-term Republican Ohio State Senator. Democrat Danny O'Connor is the Franklin County Recorder. Today's election pits the two in a race for Ohio's 12th District open congressional seat.
The latest numbers show Balderson in a dead heat with Democrat Danny O'Connor. Democrats say a win or a close loss would show that they have momentum with the midterm elections 3 months away.
Correspondent Jerry Bodlander In Washington, D.C., Mayor Muriel Bowser is being criticized over her silence on recent ICE raids in the city. Dozens of people demonstrated outside Bowser's office yesterday demanding she do more to protect immigrant residents in the district. Leading indices on Wall Street all up, the Dow is up 145 points. I'm John Trout.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station, KYMN 1080 AM, and also 95.1, The One FM from downtown Northfield. Last Friday night, the kickoff for 50 years in our community was held right in front of the KYMN studios on Division Street, and Jeff and Terry had some nice surprises and prizes and all sorts of things, and one of the things I mentioned was I remember having T-shirts made up a day after the tornado hit our community, and I happened to be cleaning out my garage, and I actually found one of them. I didn't know I had saved one, so I'm going to give it to Jeff and Terry to put in the 50-year bin that they have. Greg Klusser is my guest this morning. He is a CEO of AllFlex on Highway 3 South. I got into a casual conversation with a fellow that worked out at AllFlex, and nothing but good to say about the company. He was very pleased. Good pay and living.
Great management.
Oh, he said the management was unbelievable. Yes. And, of course, a great day farm is one of the things that piqued my interest in regards to Greg Klusser and his wife, Patty. But right now we're in high school in La Center. And what was the La Center nickname? We're the Northfield Raiders. What was La Center?
We were Wildcats.
The La Center Wildcats, all right. Did you participate in the student body support of Christmas concerts, football games, basketball games? I mean, were you socially pretty involved?
I was socially very involved, but they were pretty much all extracurricular activities. I was the class president senior year, and that was interesting. The principal at the time, there was a couple of teachers that didn't really like me, even though I was, we made a little bit of trouble, but it was always, you know, good natured, no victims and things like that. But they kind of like people that towed the line a little bit better. So I got nominated to be the president, and, you know, there was no running, no campaign. It was just kind of, hey, who's going to do it? And the principal came down and pulled me out of the assembly and said that he didn't think I should be president because it was too important, and I was just kind of a screw-off. And so then went out back out in the assembly, and our advisor, who was a woman who didn't like me, told me, or stood up in front of the whole class and said that, you know, Greg hasn't shown enough responsibility and he'd be a terrible president and you guys should not vote for him. And she got booed off. And then all of the nominees are supposed to say something. So I go up there and I says, well, you know, first of all, I'd like to thank Mrs. Urkel for this brilliant campaign strategy. And so I got elected. And
What was your graduating class numbers?
About 76.
Okay, so everybody was in on everything.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we were a good class. We still, you know, get together, and, you know, and there were different kind of cliques, but you could move in between them. There was no hostility.
In Little La Center back in the 60s, were there a lot of... you know, the jocks, the brilliant nerds, and then the druggies Was it like that in Le Centre?
Not when I graduated. I had never seen marijuana until the summer after I graduated. So, you know, about 2 years later, it was in the high schools.
Yeah.
But it wasn't then. So, and, you know, the jocks and the nerds, they were the same people.
Okay.
So,
hey, do you realize that in 2 years, it's going to be your 50th?
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound like, wow, how can it be?
Yeah. I was just thinking when you were playing that Beatles song, When I'm 64, back when that came out, and I thought, geez, I wonder if I'll ever live to be that old. And
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
What about, was the teacher right, was the principal right in saying that you would be irresponsible as the president, or did you take on the task of helping put together class reunions, for example?
Oh, yeah, we did that. And I don't know what... There was a term I heard more than once when I was growing up, and it says, "Oh, you're one of those Closser boys," you know. So,
okay. So
I think it was more reputation than actual fact, because I didn't screw around in school. I was, you know, a little bit of a class clown, but I didn't. Of course, we did steal the school bell one time. That probably. Set him off too.
Okay. You were behind Alan? Did you have to live in his shadow, or were you disconnected in high school?
Actually, my sister went to a different school.
Rita.
She went to Good Counsel in Mankato, so I didn't have her shadow. And Rocky, as Alan's nickname was. He didn't cause too much trouble, so.
I mean,
my younger brother Mike's probably the one that helped get the name of the Closser boys as much as anybody.
And you preceded him.
Yeah.
But I just wonder, was Alan a jock, for example?
He wrestled and played basketball, but, you know.
So what was it like in the Closser household if you got a couple of wrestlers a year apart?
Oh.
You wrestled.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember any knock, drag down fights?
My brother Mike, he blindsided me. I was coming around a corner one time, and he gave me a haymaker, hit me right in the chin, and thought, and I saw stars and didn't go down. And, you know, his younger brother, I had a year on him or so, and, you know, he knew I could take him, but he was just mad enough at me that he was going to do it anyway, so I just let him get away with it. And my brother Alan, I remember him sitting on top of me and choking me until I just about pass out. And then he'd let go, and I kind of come to, and he'd do it again.
Oh, man. Poor mom. Dad's on the road, and you guys are tearing things up in a three-floor or three-story old house.
Mm-hmm.
And how many bathrooms?
Two. One bathroom and then a stool downstairs.
And then one shower or one bathtub?
Yep.
Oh, that had. What was that like on a Saturday night or whenever?
Well, down in the basement, there was a shower head in the laundry area and a floor drain. So that's the boys all use that. The girls would take a bath or something, and the boys would just shower. Just kind of line up and maybe three under a shower head at the same time.
Did you ever have to wash your own clothes?
No.
Okay. How about make your own suppers?
We all learned how to cook.
Okay.
But mom was, she was a stay-at-home mom, and she was busy.
She toed the mark?
She did.
You know, did you hear things like, close the door, you're letting out the heat, or whatever. Your room looks like a tornado hit it.
Sure. Well, both my folks grew up, they were... young enough, but old enough to remember the Depression, and so, you know, you didn't waste anything.
Okay,
and that's what would bother them, and whether it was wasting gas or heat or food or whatever, you just didn't do that.
Did you ever have your mother after supper? You say, "I'm still hungry," and she said, "Fill up on bread
or potatoes."
Yeah,
yeah. No, there were, you know, if there were. nine of us at the table, there were nine pork chops. And, you know, so you never had seconds on meat.
Okay, that's true. Yep. Yeah. So what was your mom's favorite dish that she prepared?
You know, she made a good chow mein, noodle, hamburger casserole.
Okay.
She's good on the casserole. Okay.
Did you have any hobbies when you were in grade school, high school, besides wrestling?
Well, you know, back in those days, everybody hunted. And I remember, you know, going through town with a shotgun or a rifle across the handlebars of your bike, you know, heading to the city limits. So then you start walking the railroad tracks to see if, you know, shoot a pigeon or a rabbit, cook it out there and that kind of stuff. But now, can you imagine how many blocks you think a kid could get on a bicycle with a shotgun in a case on the handlebars of his bicycle before? How many 911 calls would there be?
Yeah, it's tragic that those incidents have happened, and you know, on a percentage basis, it's but every life counts. For example, the guard at Stillwater Prison, who was killed by a prisoner, and the news lead was guard killed at Stillwater Prison, the first guard ever killed in the Minnesota State Prison history. Now, that goes back to the 1800s when the younger brothers were in there. So if you take every hour of guardsmanship and every number of all the numbers of guards in the past, and you tally that all up and come to the first one, you're talking about a million to one if you count the hours and the people employed.
Yeah, but my son-in-law is a guard at Faribault Prison.
Okay.
And, you know, and he doesn't talk out of school, but, you know, the Department of Corrections, like anything else, is an organization that is subject to bad management and to bad decisions. And there's a lot of very unsafe conditions for guards. And, you know, not being addressed properly. You know, they've been begging for cameras in this area, and then, you know, well, we can't afford it. And, you know, it's a scary job that doesn't pay much at all.
My wife has her maid of honor had a daughter that took social studies in college, and she got a job as a guard at Stillwater. And she was a very attractive young lady, and I'm going, wow, you know, why would you want to hire somebody that's very attractive to walk around in the jails, hallways, etc.? And one day I interviewed her at home on the deck, because she would not come on the radio because they have to follow the rules and regulations to get permission, etc.
Okay.
But she did tell me some of the stories, etc., that went on. And then I had the prison, warden of Oak Heights Ridge, or whatever it's called, the one that murder took place. I had him on my show on two occasions, and he had been a warden there. So, you know, the way you look at it is probably right. You know, the old one is too many. Type application. 10:15 on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN. Greg Klusser is my guest this morning. Greg, when you were going to a Catholic school named St. Mary's at Le Center, and did your folks ever have a post-high school education, your mom or your dad?
My dad was a World War II vet, and when he got back from the service, he went for a year, and I think it was probably more of a technical school training, and then decided, I don't know if that was the whole program or not, but no college.
So what was their attitude in regards to Alan and Rita and Greg and Mike and Bob and Mary?
Oh, I think that we were just all expected to go to college.
Okay. Sure. And you're the class of 70 high school. So What colleges do you look at? You have a university close by, but then you have St. John's and St. Thomas and St. Catharines. And what?
Most of my siblings all went to the state schools, different ones. I went to St. Cloud my first year and St. John's my second and Mankato my third and back to St. John's for my fourth year.
Well, there's got to be something interesting about that, and I got to know, because sometimes you have to meet certain standards and sometimes you can get expelled and sometimes you cannot afford it. There are many reasons. We'll find out why right after this important timeout.
This is Twins first baseman Joe Mauer, the legendary legend of legends, baseball son of the Twin Cities. Minnesota lore foretold of his greatness, and it couldn't have been more correct. He stands among us today, part myth, part man, all Minnesotan, all-star, five-time Silver Slugger, three-time Gold Glover, MVP, and one hell of a nice guy. That is Joe Mauer. This is How We Baseball. Get your tickets to see Mauer and the Twins at twinsbaseball.com.
Lace up your sneakers and join KYMN on Sunday, September 9th for the Defeat of Jesse James Day's Run Walk. Choose from a 15K run or a 5K run walk. All proceeds benefit Northfield Shares, our community foundation, in its mission to advance philanthropy, inspire volunteerism, and promote collaborative leadership. Register at djjdrun.org. Thank you to presenting sponsors, Community Resource Bank and Aldi, and gold sponsors, Alina Health, Armory Square, Cannon Valley Veterinary Clinic, Carleton College, Neuger Communications Group, Northfield News, and Sage Glass.
Name this tune.
Just like, it's the Carpenters and...
Yep.
Why do birds suddenly...
I can't think of it.
You can give me the long answer.
Just like me, they all long to be close to you.
Correct. Boy, you're good.
Just like me, they long to be close to you.
The late Karen Carpenter and her brother, thing called Close to You, number four song in 1970, the year my guest graduated from high school at La Center. Now, this is going to be interesting. You went to freshman year. Where did you go?
St. Cloud State.
And did you want to be a teacher? Was that the reason you went there?
No, that's where my brother was going, and I didn't have a car.
Okay, so you could ride up there with him, and did you get to board together?
Pardon me?
Did you get to board together?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
So once you were there, you were on your own?
Yep.
Okay. So
actually, my roommate was a local guy, Dave Becker.
Oh, really? There you go. And you never knew him until...
Oh, no. We went to kindergarten together, and he got me a job at Sheldahl. I got him a job at Allflex. We've been working together. Same Catholic grade school.
Wow.
We've known each other, and we're retiring together too.
That's pretty good. Is that your best buddy?
Or? Well, he's one of a small few. Yes.
Okay. Well, good. Dave Becker. So then you complete a year at St. Cloud, and now St. John's, which is, I believe, hard to get into unless you're an alumni, and it's expensive. And how did you end up getting into...
I had friends going to St. John's, and so went to a few get-togethers there,
Cakers?
Pretty campus.
Joe Garrett.
And a good school.
And a good football team.
Yep, so I talked to the admissions, say I want to come, and... They said, well, you got a resume or whatever they used to call it, a transcript, and I didn't even ask for it, but they gave me a scholarship for room and board. And so I was there for a year.
Well, wait a minute. They gave you a scholarship for room. Was it because of your academic successes?
Yeah, I was a good student.
Okay. And... Do you get little mailers from them to this day?
Oh, yeah.
And do you mail things back?
I do, not as much as I'm spending most of my money on Great Day Farm.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking that you probably more than paid back your scholarship money.
Yeah, but they're a good school.
Okay.
But it was all boys then, and, of course, you had the St. Ben's campus not far, and there were – you could take classes on either campus, but it just still seemed a little too much a men's college to me at that time. So me and a bunch of other La Center buddies, we rented a house in Mankato, and a couple of those were working, and a couple of us were going to school. And so I spent a year at Mankato. I decided to leave there because I had about four different teachers that year that asked me what grade I wanted.
And ask you what grade you wanted? How does that work?
Well, this was in the early 70s, and there was a lot of that going on. And
well, there was a draft that would be looking you square in the eye if you weren't in school.
But this was just added. So I said, hey, you're the teacher, you got to decide. But
well, why would they? I mean, would you like a D or an A plus? Well, duh.
Yeah. So I never answered the question, and I thought this isn't a good school to learn at, so I went back to St. John's.
Okay, so you were a good student. We have that established. What about egg on your face, or whatever you want to call it, but a slap in the face to St. John's? They give you a scholarship, and then you leave.
And then I came back.
But you didn't know that at that time. Were they disappointed?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I never heard anything. I think it.
You just didn't register your junior year or sophomore.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I actually didn't register till about September when I came back, and because I didn't know what I was going to do, and so I said, "Hey, you still got room for me here?" And yeah, but we don't have a place for you to stay. So I lived in the back of my pickup for the first 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. And then they found a place.
Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful campus. Did you ever get a chance to know the most popular man on campus?
Who's that? Father Don Talifas?
Yes. How about the second most popular?
I don't know who that is.
Well, he's a real tall, short, fat, skinny guy with real light, dark hair, but he's bald.
Where you went?
No, you know what? I have to tell you, I was going through some stuff in the garage the other day, and I remember I had a wonderful experience of being the Minnesota Radio Broadcaster of the Year, and Don Shelby was a TV guy of the year, and we had the induction on St. John's campus, and in a chapel, I think, that was transformed into...
The Great Hall.
Yeah, beautiful place. And then this guy named Gilardi, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
You remember John Gilardi?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had heard some words about him that weren't totally positive. He got up there, and he had us laughing so hard.
He's a great speaker.
Oh, he was great. So I was real proud that I had him as a speaker at that induction. So anyhow, did you ever face-to-face with a guy? Did you go out and support the Johnnies? Did you go to the St. Thomas games?
No, I just went to the local games. And but, man, they did get excited about their football games. Johnny Rats would just raise all kinds of heck.
And who's Johnny Rats?
Those were Johnny. That was their mascot was a rat.
A Johnny Rat. Okay.
Yeah.
Rats.
And they just, they were boisterous.
So did you graduate in 74?
Yep.
So you even with the way you did that, you got her out on time.
I didn't lose any credits. And
what was your...
And just missed summa cum laude. I had cum laude.
Ooh. Mine was Kuma back at Nexuma.
Okay.
Thank you for laughing at that. Some people don't. But so the draft, did you get a number?
I was number, it was in the 50s. It was 52 or 59, they were going up to about 180 back then. And so I kind of dodged a bullet in that got a student deferment in 1970, In 1971, they said no more student deferments, but if you have one, you can keep it.
Oh.
And so then they had the draft. So if I'd have been a year later, I wouldn't have gotten the deferment. I'd have been drafted. Or if I'd have been a year earlier, I would have graduated and been gone to Vietnam.
Yeah.
As it turned out, the year I graduated was when they left Saigon.
Yeah.
So,
Were you involved at the drop of the drinking age to 18?
No, I was 21 before I could drink legally.
Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll be right back on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is Greg Klosser, and we're having a lot of fun chit-chatting. And right now we got him pretty much out of school, but maybe he went on to get a doctorate's degree. We'll find out in a moment.
A home is probably the biggest purchase you'll ever make, and you want to make sure everything goes smoothly. Call me, State Farm Agent Mark Quinnell. I not only offer homeowners insurance to protect your investment, but I can help with home loans too. No wonder more homeowners trust State Farm than any other insurance company. For information, call me, State Farm Agent Mark Quinnell, at 645-4545. Providing insurance and financial services, loans are offered through State Farm Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Flexion Care Suites on the campus of Three Links here in Northfield offers comfort, care in a home-like environment. We provide compassionate, specialized end-of-life care to residents and families during phases of an incurable illness. We have a wonderful staff that provides the highest quality of care, supporting each resident's personal wishes. I am Susan Samuelson, Clinical Nurse Manager of Reflections. You can call me at 664-8809 for a tour of this beautiful facility.
By the way, got to say thank you to the folks over at Three Links Care Center. They had a nice golf tournament last Thursday, and I got to play golf with some pretty nice people, architects and referees. And anyhow, it was a great time, and of course, a guy by the name of Dick Jankowski, he's well known as an MC, did the MC work, and he stole my title to my book. You know, everybody's going to write a book, and the title of his book is It's All About Me, which I thought was pretty funny. We're going to go with the number four or three song.
Raindrops are falling on my head.
Name that tune.
That is Burt Bacharach and Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, I think.
I believe it's not Burt Bacharach.
Burt, what is it?
B.J. B.J.
Okay.
B.J. Thomas.
Oh, is it?
B.J. Thomas, Raindrops Keep...
Oh, okay.
I think he wrote it, Burt Bacharach.
I think maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. That was
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid theme, movie theme.
Number three in all of 1970. All right, so now you get almost summa cum laude, and what happened? You graduate now, and you're
so
into
the
work world.
Yeah, so I was a business and math major, and and I didn't want to teach, didn't have a job lined up, and I'd worked road construction during the summers, so I just kept doing. I did that and worked till end of the season in November, and drew unemployment that winter. And did a lot of ice fishing, tapped some maple trees in the spring, made some maple syrup, and I was thinking, I said this sure beats working.
Yeah.
But I told you my dad sold road equipment and stuff. He sold a line of tiling equipment for farm drainage, big wheel-type machine.
Yep.
You probably know Dale Malika has a big business.
And Dale and Tom,
yeah,
absolutely.
But they plow it all in now. Back then, they dug a trench for everything. So my brother, my dad had this used machine that he ended up owning. And he had a little 80-acre farm that had some rough land on it. And so I remember I was sitting in the chair reading the paper, and he says, well, as long as you're not doing anything, dropped the manual in my lap and said, why don't you learn how to run this machine? We'll put some tile in at the farm. And I'd work for the survey crew, part of the highway department, too, so I could lay the grade. And so we did that, and neighbor saw us working and says, geez, I got about 10,000 feet of tile that I need in. Would you do mine? So we roaded it over and did his work, and then his neighbor saw us working. So pretty soon I was in the tiling business with my brother and did that.
And with Alan?
No, yeah, brother Mike. Bob.
Bob. Oh, okay. Yep. Bob comes into play.
And so we did that for a few years. Every time we'd get this machine, you know, working pretty good, my dad would sell it on us and then get us another old junker that we would work on and work with. And so we ended up, and we were both living at home, we ended up with a little bit of money, and I knew I had to get out of this business because it was dangerous, and, you know, I wasn't really careful. And that iron doesn't stop for blood or flesh and bone. So one week we were working up at Hastings putting in irrigation pipe to these pivot stations.
Now, who bid those jobs?
We were tied to a contractor, and we did it for a flat 25 cents a foot.
Okay.
And one weekend I had an oversized load, and I got stuck in the middle of the lift bridge between Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Prescott?
Yep.
Okay.
I hit a 8-inch gas pipeline underground and then got a speeding ticket coming home that weekend. I said, that's it. Get rid of it. The next mistake's going to kill us. So and in the meantime, I got married. And we bought a house, bought a $17,000 house.
Where at?
Le Center.
Okay.
And then...
what year would this have been?
This was in 77.
You got a house for $18,000 in 77?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good.
It wasn't much of a house.
Post-World War II home? Or?
Oh, it was a stone basement, probably 1902 or 3.
Oh, okay, okay.
Old farmhouse that was now in town.
Okay.
And then my buddy Dave Becker, in the meantime, he stayed on an extra year at school, got his MBA, and got a job at Sheldahl as a quality engineer. And after I sold tiling equipment, I went to work for the county highway department on the survey crew, and was there about a year. And Dave gave me a call and says, I got you a job interview at Sheldahl as a quality engineer. I says, great. I says, what's a quality engineer?
Yeah, what is it?
So I
what do you need to be qualified to be a quality engineer?
You're doing back then there was a lot of sampling plans and process control and things like that, and I had the math background and statistics and business background, so it was a good fit. And so I started at Sheldahl in 1978.
Now, did you actually use instruments that measured the thickness of some of the flexible?
Oh yeah, we had a pretty good test lab that had all kinds of equipment for measuring product characteristics of metallurgical or adhesives and cures and hardness and. Contamination and things like that.
Did you know Gay Gilbertson?
Yep.
He was involved in the spaceship program, Echo One, which was before your time.
Yep, I've got some nice pictures of Echo and Pagios, and so Gaylord. Did you know that he toured with Pink Floyd?
No, you know, I do remember he did something with somebody, but I think when I was told it, I didn't even know who Pink Floyd was.
Pink Floyd had Sheldahl. I don't know much about Pink Floyd, but anyway, their symbol was a pyramid. So they had Sheldahl build an inflatable pyramid. So Gaylord went on tour with them to deploy it. So at the end of the concert... he would inflate it, and it was tethered, and it would float up above the band, and people went nuts. And Gaylord had a lot of interesting life experiences, touring with the band, groupies. And anyway, he said one time the tether broke, and it floated out over the crowd, and they attacked it, and he said there wasn't a scrap bigger than about 4 square inches when they were done. And the band says, God, that was great. He says, can we do that every time? Of course, Sheldon would be liable on all that, so it never...
I wonder if anybody inhaled the gas, the helium.
Yeah, just...
And everybody's going around,
did you see what we did today?
That's an interesting story.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool old Sheldon stories.
Now, where were you when Sheldon moved across Highway 3, their west building?
Yeah, I was there. I was the circuit business was always on the east side, so I stayed there. And then I had an office in the west building when they made me vice president. But
were you there when Governor? No, I don't think you were. Wendy Anderson.
I was there when Rudy Perpich came and visited.
Okay. Well, Wendy came, and you guys had some development that purified water, if I remember correctly.
Mm.
That's before your time?
I don't know. Yeah. Well, Wendy was after Perpich, so I was there when Perpich was still governor.
Yeah, wasn't Perpich governor twice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, okay, I just remember that they made coffee with the water.
Oh.
And then...
probably some fancy membrane that they created. They did a lot of cool stuff on the material side.
Okay. And then you had to drink the coffee. You know, it was made out of, I don't know if it was made out of sewage or what, but it was something that was icky that became really good and clean. And I just kind of remember that. It's 22 minutes before 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Greg Klosser is my guest this morning. He is the CEO at Allflex here on Highway 3 in Northfield. And he also, along with his wife Patty, have a place called A Great Day Farm, which is something that is totally altruistic. And Greg and Patty have a big family, and he comes from a relatively large family. What does Alan do today? Since he's 3 years older than you.
He's retired, lives in Le Center.
And what did he do with his life?
He was an insurance underwriter, mostly for farm ag business.
Okay, how about Rita, a year and a half older than
you? She worked at Mankato State for many years in the geography department, an administrator, and she's also retired.
Did your mom and dad ever wish that one of you would become a nun or a priest? Why do I ask that?
yeah, I suppose every Catholic family did that. I was the one that was going to do it, if anybody, and I went and visited a high school that was attached to a seminary one time, but didn't take.
Yeah, okay. Patty's happy about that. And then about your little brother, Mike. Just 1 year younger than you.
Yep,
the one that sucked you in the jaw.
Yeah, he lives in Ohio and just retired within the last year from State Farm.
Okay, how about Bob?
Bob is working. I'm not sure what the name of the company is he is with, but their company does custom printing of ballots and things for elections and also sells ballot machines. So he's in that kind of, calls on local, county, and state government.
Okay. Little sister Mary?
She's, she mostly raises her family, or has raised her family. I think they got like 6 grandkids now. And she still works. Mary is a lot like Patty in that... is a caregiver for others, and so I know that she helps. She has some clients. She works for the county and calls on some elder people that need a little help, and she, you know, does grocery shopping for them and things like
When's
that.
When's the last time you were your mom and your dad and all of your brothers and your sisters, including Cheryl. How much younger is she than you?
She's about 8 years younger.
Okay,
And she's
That's quite a split.
She's a teacher.
Okay.
And over by Winona, and she's she is a very bright lady.
So we have Alan, Rita, Greg, Mike, Bob, Mary, and Cheryl.
That's just how my mom used to yell it out the back door supper time.
Okay. When's the last time mom and dad and all your siblings were together, like at Christmas time or anything?
Well, we always used to do family events, and my dad had my folks had a cabin on Lake Volney, which is near the center. So they had like 23 grandchildren. And most of them local, and a lot of them the same age, so we had big groups like that. My folks both passed on a number of years ago, but every Thanksgiving we have a reunion at our place.
Oh, and yeah, you got enough room, that's
yeah,
for sure.
So we have you know, maybe 60 people.
Yeah,
and so it's three generations, and it's
do you wear different
and they
colored t-shirts?
And they still talk about, you know, it's a way for all of my kids and their first cousins to get together and remember those days with my folks, and so it's a fun time.
You know, one thing, sometimes in families, first cousins are like brothers and sisters, and that's the way I grew up. I only had one sister a year older than me, and she socked me in the mouth, but I have cousins, two boy cousins and two girl cousins.
If you live close by, that's just just one family.
And we were I always like to say the big six, because the rest of cousins were much older, you know, 5, 10 years older, and the other ones were 5, 10 years younger. But our clique, it was fun growing up with cousins. It is already 16 minutes before 11 o'clock, and we're still discussing things about Greg Klosser, and we will be back in approximately... I'd say a minute.
Hey there, it's me, your stomach, down here. You know, the one who can talk. Anyway, I was just at a yoga sesh with a few of the other stomachs, and mid-tree pose, everyone started talking about Subway's new savory rotisserie-style chicken Caesar signature wrap. It's a mouthful to say, I know, but with creamy Caesar dressing and double the rotisserie-style chicken, it's not the only thing that's full, if you know what I mean. It's me. I'm the one that's full. Because I'm a stomach. That's kind of what I do. Subway, make it what you want. Double meat based on average 6-inch sub.
Farmer's Mill and Elevator in Castle Rock has everything today's farmer needs, from feed, seed, fertilizer, herbicide, and custom application. Farmer's Mill and Elevator has 70 years of experience working with area farmers to achieve the best possible products. Farmer's Mill and Elevator in Castle Rock reminds you to take in the Dakota County Fair this week and take in the 4-H and FFA exhibits.
I should know this one. Evil Woman?
Close. You're half right.
American Woman.
That's correct.
I don't know who this is.
Well, just guess who.
Who? The Who.
No, guess who.
Guess who, okay.
15 minutes before 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning, Greg Klosser. And today, by the way, is a Tuesday. It is August the 7th, and the year is 2018. And we're going to have to move along here in regards to your situation here in Northfield. And what year did you come to Northfield? 78, did you say?
Yeah, but I commuted from Le Center. So we moved here in 83.
All right. And were you looking for a place like you have now, or was there a place in between a Great Day Farm and...
Yeah, we lived in on Orchard, and we didn't have enough money or any money to think about a place in the country, but it's something we always wanted to do. And so a little bit later, we thought we could, you know, swing the finances. And so we started looking and got out in that spot. And
no, Orchard really is on the west side of Northfield, and it has older homes. And where are you between, let's say, Greenville and St. Olaf Avenue and 3rd Street?
We were closer to, we're about the third house on the right from St. Olaf Avenue.
Oh, okay.
And we spent 3 years in Arizona, too, went to a competitor of Sheldahl's. But we've always lived in mixed neighborhoods, older neighborhoods, and so you have the kind of the surrogate grandparents and mm-hmm. then our young kids. And I've always liked that environment. It's good for the kids, and the neighbors, you know, like to see the kids playing. And
where did you spend those 3 years?
Down in Chandler, Arizona.
Isn't that the place that was going to be the great expansion for Sheldahl?
No, that was Longmont, Colorado.
Oh, never mind. At least I got a memory of
you
something.
You remember
like,
something going on there.
Okay. And so
I try to forget, too.
Yeah. Well, you've been, you've been successful intellectually at grade school and high school and college. And also, you've been also pretty involved in holding your own in the world of athletics at one time or another. And did you ever anticipate that you would be in a position to be so not entrepreneur, but what do you call that when people
philanthropist?
Yeah.
No, I tell you, when I got let go at Sheldahl, like I said, I had 7 kids, a mortgage, and no job, and no income, so I was. You know, I had been putting away money in a 401k, and I just thought, you know, if I can get the house paid for, we'll be okay. But during those ditch digging days, we couldn't have bought paint for the house, so it was kind of slowly starving to death. And
you didn't lose your 401k from Sheldahl?
No, okay. No, but. You know, when I went to get a barrel from Ann and she made me their sales manager instead, it really, that kind of stopped the bleeding. And you know, we did well. We were growing the company. She was very happy. I've told the story how I was there for about 3 months, and I hear a page to come to her office, and her and Ed are sitting there, and so she said, you know, Ed and I were talking, and again, I'd been there about 3 months, says, we think that we hired you too cheap, so we're giving you a $20,000 bump retroactive.
Wow.
And then about 3 months later, she gives me a $25,000 bonus check.
Wow.
So I'm thinking, wow is right.
I mean, holy
that,
cow.
That doesn't happen to anybody.
Does that pay off the house?
No, but it certainly helped.
Helps, yeah.
And then the next year she told me she was selling the company and to private equity, and those are the guys that killed Sheldahl. And I'm thinking, oh crap, you know. But then she said, no, they asked me, they said they want to know if there's a president in the current employees, and I said it was you, and so they let me, took a chance on me, and again, I got a chance to buy in, and then I earned some more ownership through performance,
mm-hmm.
and pretty soon I ended up to be, have all my money back and be about a 1/8 owner of the company, and it's been growing ever since, so...
What did you mean by about the guys that screwed Sheldahl up?
Well, I mean, it was a team effort.
Yeah.
But they, you know, you read Dilbert cartoons.
Yeah.
You know, and there is a lot of corporate malfeasance, and it reminded me of a Dilbert cartoon. It was just awful.
Where was their headquarters?
Chicago. I'm not going to talk about the names, but but it was just, I mean, they had an agenda of beating you down. You know, and I was never in boot camp, but I can imagine what that was like. And it was so contrary to how I wanted to operate. And then eventually, you know, got the boot. And so that's always been, you know, part of how I've tried to manage companies is you got to always, you know, leadership is about, it's stewardship. You gotta do what's best for the company and what's best for the employees and best for the customers. And if you do that, you trust that you'll come out okay. You don't manage things for your own benefit. That's the worst thing you can do. So,
well,
it's worked for me.
And we'll take a final break and we'll close on A Great Day Farm. All right. We'll be right back here on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN out of Northfield.
Millstream Commons Assisted Living is where the all-star seniors enjoy life in Northfield. From the delicious meals, the bright, spacious apartments, the volunteer projects, the bus trips we take, classes we attend, and the music we enjoy, there's something for everyone. At Millstream Commons, we treat everyone like an MVP. For more information, call 507-650-0141.
Your vehicle's engine warning light could mean something as simple as a loose gas cap or something serious and potentially expensive if you don't address it right away. Have our professional technicians at Witt Brothers Service diagnose and fix the problem as part of your overall preventative maintenance program. It could save you from costly problems down the road. Stop by Witt Brothers Service at 701 Division Street in downtown Northfield for all of your automotive maintenance and repair needs.
Bridge Over Troubled Waters.
Yes, and?
Simon Garfunkel.
Got it. You did very well, by the way. We did the Beatles, number 10, Let It Be, Edwin Starr, War, number 9, number 8, Guess Who, American Woman. I didn't do Diana Ross, Ain't No Mountain High Enough, number 7, The Partridge Family, I Think I Love You, number 6, George Harrison, My Sweet Lord, The Carpenters, Close to You, number 3, and 3 was B.J. Thomas. Raindrops Keep Falling on My Gourd, number 2 I didn't play, Jackson 5, and I'll Be There.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. We have the same taste. And, of course, Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Waters. And that's what a Great Day Farm does, is it kind of is a bridge over a situation that, fortunately, most parents don't run into. You do, and Patty, and you are a bridge to a good grand day for some of the clients of Laura Baker and some folks from Owatonna and other places, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you know, as I said, this whole thing at Allflex has turned out to be so much better than I ever would have imagined, and seems like you know, God's put things in front of us that have been to our benefit, and this is just given back a little bit from really an abundance that you know, my mother was pretty religious, and you know, she kind of taught us that. You know, it's not yours. You're just kind of a steward of all of whatever resources you have, and you're expected to use them. So it's been, we've been really happy to do it, and we're trying to develop the outside of the grounds. We've got about 3.5 acres that is fenced in so that people can be out there and you don't have to worry about them, you know, getting lost or running away. And we're going to develop that outside with a bunch of activity stations and some walking paths and sensory garden. And so this will be something that we'll continue to work on and build on as we go.
How does that work that for those of you that aren't familiar, didn't tune in at first, this place is up what the old timers used to call Radar Hill, and I think There was a farm there from one of the high school agricultural teachers in that area, and his name will come to me. But anyhow, I felt like I was doing something wrong when I drove up to your place because I was going through Silky Strawberry Patch, and I just felt like I was intruding, but I just was curious on what's back here. So did other people ever say they felt that, kind of like they were doing something wrong getting to your place?
Well, we do get a few U-turns, you know, occur right at the end of our driveway that people get curious. And you know, Patty gets more upset than me because that's the kind of thing I would have done.
Yeah, and I did.
Yeah, there you go. And but we also... I mentioned earlier we get people that are looking for berries, and they just kind of assume that we run the berry farm because we're a little bit past it, and that's not the case. But
do you have a sign that says not associated with the berry farm? Or?
It right at the end of the berry farm, there's a private driveway sign and things like that. But no, we don't. We could have better signage, but... the signs would have to go out on 115th Street.
Yeah.
And Silky owns one side of that, and Rock owns the other. And so we haven't talked to either of them about putting some signage up so that...
Are you talking about Donna and Gary? Rock?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know them. I just know them by reputation.
Super people. Oh, very good people. Very good people. And they had the farm, you know, on where Jefferson Parkway and...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, they had the farm to the south of that.
Yep.
And it was a... We did June Dairy Barn Farm, visited their farm several times during June over the last 50 years. And then they sold that land
for
to the softball...
School.
Yeah, and the Softball Association worked with the city to buy the softball fields that are on the north side of Jefferson Parkway.
Oh, okay. And that the old family home there on the corner is used for special education classes and kind of life skills and things.
I want to put together the name of Forrest and Helen Turnicliffe with that house, and I don't know why, but it just pops in my mind. But it was all part of the deal that was made with the school district and others that house would be in perpetuity until, you know, how contracts like that go. So anyhow, you got all the songs right. You got your family. You seem to be a very blessed family, particularly when you adopt a person with special needs. What is the proper terminology you want me to use? What is special needs the way to say it?
Well, we just say developmental disabilities. It kind of covers a broad spectrum. We get a lot of people with autism, and there's a lot of autism with also some, you know, reduced cognitive skills. You know, as I said earlier, they're just not a place for them to go a lot of times because you might get somebody who just wants to scream and yell and holler. Well... And they say, well, take them, you know, take them down on the river walk, you know, get them integrated in the community. Well, geez, you know, it doesn't work. And there's a lot of people with developmental disabilities that hold jobs and they can integrate in the community well, and that's great. And they have some options. But kids like our Max that are maybe a little bit lower functioning, they really don't have the options, and that's really... what Patty wanted to make sure that we create people like that.
Do you ever wonder what's going on in someone's mind that has autism?
I wonder what's going on in some people's minds that don't.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, and I think it's a wonderful thing that you and Patty are doing. And do you want people to stop by, or do you want people to just be aware that if they know of anybody that could use a little relief at no charge?
I really appreciate you kind of having me on and getting that word out. And www.agreatdayfarm.org is a website, and you can kind of see what we're about, and you see a calendar, and and feel free.
I don't think you have to say www dot anymore.
Well, I'm old.
Oh, well, I like it because it's but a great day farm.
Dot org.
Nonprofit. Com. Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks, Greg. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Wayne.
As we reach across the area and shake hands. Okay, now I have to do a little